all-new edition of Five and Out. I am Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very special MASH-tastic top five for you, Steve. What is that top five?
We are doing our very first mashup edition of our top five. Mm-hmm. So we're taking our favorite premises, favorite movies, favorite video games, favorite TV shows. We're taking the characters, we're taking the shows themselves, and we're colliding them with one of our other favorites.
Guys, you know what mashups are. There are so many possibilities out here. It was so tough for Steve and I to just choose five each. But we have our top five coming at you later on the show. But without further ado, let's get to it. Steve, I am extra spicy today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, super spicy.
Oh, my.
And I'm using that intensifier, you ass.
Hey, sometimes when it calls for it, please.
All right. Actually last week, you know this. But as none of you out there know, at rehearsal the other night, I lost one of my lenses in my glasses. It's an outdoor show. I have my glasses with me, but not on. So we're walking all the way around the park. And during that, somewhere in there, one of my lenses fell out. And I don't have a backup pair or contacts. So I'm stuck with one lensed glasses. Can they even be called glasses? It's more like a glass on my face.
God, that has to be awful, man.
It is. It is.
So can you even see anything?
I have a choice.
I can see or I cannot.
I can either not wear my glasses or glass and have everything be blurry, right? See, you, I can tell that you're you, but barely. Right? I can tell that you're wearing a white shirt, a dark colored cap, and I can see that you have a fairly large nose. That's about it.
Do I really?
Well, I mean, not compared to mine.
No.
But, or I could put on my glasses, and then I can get immediately disoriented, because then I can see, but also not. Because half my vision I could see, but the other half, when I'm looking at the same thing, is not clear. It's weird. And then I get a headache.
But oh,
why?
Good.
Why I'm spicy today, extra spicy, is that one of our friends, Susan, she told me about this place, this website online, that I can just plug into my prescription and order a pair of really cheap glasses to get, like, a backup pair. Because my original plan was to go to see an eye doctor, get a new prescription, then get glasses. But I'm like, hey, if I can get my old prescription, plug that in there, order them ASAP, I can have a backup pair for when my new pair comes in. So, I think it's a pretty decent plan.
So far, so good.
Thank you. Let me tell you why it all falls apart. I called up the place I got my glasses last time, which is at least 8 years ago.
I was going to say, when was the last time you had your prescription, like, or your eyes checked?
Ooh, 8 years ago.
Yeah, that's going to be bad.
And it was in the Walmart of my hometown.
Yeah.
The Vision Center.
Yeah.
The Walmart. The juice aisle. So I called up the Walmart Vision Center, said, hey, this is a long shop. Do you guys still have my prescription there? Oh, yes, we do, Wes. Oh, great. Can you give that to me? Oh, I'm sorry. We can't give that out. Oh, who can? Your eye doctor who gave you that prescription. Here's his name and number. Great. Thank you. Ring, ring, ring. Hello, eye doctor. Hi, I'm looking for...
Who is it?
I'm hoping, can you give me my prescription? I was there about 8 years ago. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have that anymore. We don't keep records over 5 years.
Sorry, hold on. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't keep that anymore. We don't keep record over 5 years.
So I say, well, I just talked to the glasses place. They said that you're the one who only wouldn't give it to me.
Oh, you mean Walmart?
Yep. They're like, well, you can try back there and tell them what I just told you. So I said, okay, I'll do that. This is fun. So I called back to Walmart, told them what I just found out, and they said, well, I'm sorry, we can't give that out. I'm like, well, this is funny, because I can't see. We're both incapable of doing things, but you are not. You could give them to me. It's like, no, I'm sorry, we can't give that out. Is my prescription in front of you? Yes, it is. Then let's play a game. Give me a series of random numbers, right? Just between you and me, and let's see what pops up. So no, man, I cannot get my prescription.
Well, to be honest, it's actually probably better that they didn't give it to you.
Why?
Because it's 8 years old,
but that's
dude.
A prescription that I had that fell out of my glasses.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it is the correct prescription for your eyes anymore.
I need something to get me through until I can get
so
my new
you,
pair of
even
glasses.
Even if you ordered it today, when would they have been here? Thursday?
Yeah, it'd be better than...
And you're going to the doctor on Friday? So instead of having so now your eyes are going to get checked on Friday at the eye doctor, hopefully not Walmart, an actual eye doctor, and they're going to say, here is your prescription. By the way, your left eye is worse than it was before, and blah, blah, blah. Here's your new prescription. So then instead of having a new pair of glasses that fits you perfectly, and now this off glasses, because it has your old prescription in it, now you can get your new glasses, and you can get your backup pair with the correct prescription, and it just took you an extra day to get two pairs of glasses that actually work for you.
Steve, they don't have lenses pre-cut out in my prescription. They'll need to send it away to have them cut out, and then I'll get my glasses in another week.
Really? They don't have, like, pre-made glasses? It's not that way? No?
If they do, it'd be the first time I've ever heard of that being true.
Oh, I don't wear contacts. I don't wear glasses. I just assumed they're like, oh, here, this eye is
good for you.
a 14 on the spectrum, and your left eye is a 12. I don't know. I don't know how that thing works. That's how I thought they went.
No, they don't just have every pair of frames does not have every prescription lens in them.
No. I know not every frame does, but I thought they would have just, you know, a bunch of lenses in the back, and then they would just pop them into said glasses.
And they might, but every time I've ordered a pair, it's always taken like a week. But
well, couldn't you just order, like, buy some contacts while you're there for a few days?
And maybe I could.
I'm sure they have those.
But again, if they don't have my prescription,
I'm sure they do. I don't know shit about it, but I'm sure they do. Yeah. Well, I feel like they have to have something there.
It's like, nope, good luck. See you in a week.
Otherwise, that store is just a complete facade. Hi, welcome. What kind of glasses can we get you? The correct answer is none. We can get you none glasses. Zero. So thanks for stopping in.
Have fun driving home.
God, that sounds awful.
It sucks, dude.
How about you? Why don't you just get LASIK instead?
You know what? Do you have an extra few $1,000s?
I don't know how much LASIK costs. Steve, I know very little. Honestly, you know eyes are my thing. I don't want to know anything about it.
I can't stand you and your perfect 20/20 vision. All right? I can't stand it.
I mean, honestly, well, how much are glasses going to be, do you think, roughly? $500 bucks or something?
Here's the thing. The frames, if I get them at the eye doctor, will be, what, $200? Maybe on average, 100 to 200. If I order them online, it'd be like 10 or 20 bucks.
Yeah, if you get cheap, shitty ones, but whatever.
No, a lot of our friends do it.
No, they have cheap, shitty glasses too.
Yeah, they have cheap, shitty glasses too.
I'm just, I don't know, I guess depending on, you know, how much it costs for all the other stuff. Like, I don't know if LASIK is like $1,500 bucks or something. I don't know. I don't know how much LASIK costs.
Steve, that pair of broken glasses that I'm pointing at right now,
yeah,
that's lasted me 8 years.
Okay.
So, like, I paid $150 for those frames.
And LASIK
frames.
Lasts you forever.
Yeah, but I might get my eyes replaced.
Which, in your case, is not the worst thing in the world.
That's true.
Well, best of luck on the great eyeball fiasco of 2015.
My God. And I thought it'd be the dentist stories. No, the dentist stories are more fun. The eyeball stories are more angry. That's right.
Yeah.
That's how we differentiate those.
Well, let me tell you a little medical thing that I stumbled upon in the last month. I've given this some real time to check out, and it has, friend.
What's up?
It has.
What?
Baby powdering them balls. This is legit. I know I'm not the first one to ever do this. I've heard tell of it for quite some time. But I was like, yeah, and I think I tried it a few years ago, too. I was like, this isn't for me. But I tell you what, man, last month, get out of the shower, dry everything off, and then before you throw the deodorant on, you go pop, 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 put a little baby powder on them balls, dude.
Really?
It is phenomenal.
Really?
It is great, especially on these, like, hot, muggy summer days. Oh, my God, man.
I thought that the sweat and the powder would just congeal into a paste on your balls, and you have pasty balls.
Obviously, you've not spent a lot of time, with babies. Because I'll tell you the main reason to not...
Did you rub your balls on a baby?
You would not put baby powder on a baby if it turned into this, like, thick, sweaty paste. It's like, well, it looks like my baby pooped in her diaper again. I hope it mixed real nice with that baby powder paste we had going on to really ooze it around the butt area. No, friend. It does the opposite. It absorbs that kind of stuff, keeps you feeling cool and dry the whole day.
Okay.
It's excellent.
Well, you have piqued my interest.
I'm telling you, man. The technique, you gotta figure out the best way for you. But I'm telling you, man, out of the shower, because you don't want to be too wet during the application. It kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
So you want to dry off. The way I do it, dry off, like, I go, like, do my stuff in the kitchen. I make my juice and stuff in the morning. Then I'm pretty dry. I come back in the bathroom, a little bit in the hand. Handle around the bits there, if you will.
Oh, you don't just squat over the baby powder jar and dip them in? That's not... like a fun dip?
That's it. That's what I should. I just get a big trough of it and just dip the old bowls in there.
It's grape flavored.
That's when it comes a nice slurry. Yeah. That grape sugary slurry. I'm telling you, man, it is amazing. And it just keeps you feeling clean the whole day.
Well, that's you. We have piqued my interest.
I'm telling you, if I've ever given you a bit of advice to listen to, this is the one. Buy yourself a bottle of baby powder and go to town, man.
Fun dip your balls
in. Fun dip away.
Now, remember, I can't see anything, so I'll probably go for the baby powder, but wind up coming out with powdered sugar.
So. That's not going to do quite the same thing at all.
No. He told me there'd be no paste.
So yeah, man, I am living the life of dry balls. It's great.
Hey, man, I can't see. Your balls are just as comfy as can be.
We are two peas in a pod.
That's right. So besides, another reason why I'm spicy is because I am not able to have that stress relief of playing video games, or at least a lot of the video games I like to play. I can't play Just Cause 2 right now because I can't see what's happening very well.
Wah, wah.
Everything is taking twice as long because I get shot at. I can't tell where I'm being shot at because the enemies blend right into the background.
You're like the Mr. Magoo of first-person shooters.
That's right. Like the Mr. Magoo of the island of Panao. Just bumbling his way through.
Wes, you are in discomfort in many ways. And while I'm sitting here with my cooled balls, I am enjoying my time in Gotham City, playing Arkham Knight, because that shit is legitimate.
Yeah?
It's good.
Is it too legit?
Oh, no, I'm not quitting.
Okay.
It is just legit enough.
I wonder where that phrase came about, like, too legitimate to quit.
Well, it's, like, to be
you
fair,
can't quit. You're it's too not, legitimate.
It's not too legitimate to quit. It's too legit to quit.
I'm sorry. Did I white guy it up?
You white. I know it from MC Hammer. I don't know if there is.
I'm sorry. Who? Alan Jackson?
Yeah, that's him. You know. Too legit to quit. Alan Jackson. That's the one.
Okay.
So I'm digging the shit out of Arkham Knight.
Yeah,
because I'm not playing it on PC, because apparently the PC version is just plagued with problems.
That's what I
heard. But I'm playing it on the PS4, and they did a really nice job adding some new things to the already amazing combat system to keep it true to itself, but add some new things. Also with the Predator stuff as well. You can now do...
Predator's in there?
Predator is in there. So, like, Batman can call in Predator.
Oh, my
which
God.
Which is... You know, Batman can't kill people. He's against it. But he is not against calling in a ruthless alien to murder all villains in Gotham City.
Steve, I think I just have a new number two.
Uh-oh! So they added something really cool in the Predator part where you can do fear takedowns.
Okay.
Where essentially you move incredibly quickly and it's like a quick strike kind of thing. So you can chain like four takedowns together incredibly fast. So it still feels it's all the great things of the previous Arkham games are there, you know, hanging out in the top of the gargoyles looking down.
You know, and just hanging out.
Just hanging out, chilling, you and Predator, like, which one should we kill first? But now there's certain guys that if you are in detective mode for too long, they start getting a lock on your signal.
Oh.
So it impairs you from doing that, which is great because I find I just sit in detective mode during that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's different takedowns, of course. They added And the big thing is they added the Batmobile to this game.
Oh, yeah.
Which at first I thought I was like, is this how, is it going to be a big part of the game? How are they going to do it? It is a huge part of the game. And it is not just, you know, like it's regular Arkham City plus the Batmobile. The Batmobile is a very featured part of the game.
Now, one of the criticisms that I've heard of this game is that the Batmobile feels like they rely too much on it.
Yeah, there. I could see why someone would say that.
Yeah.
And the Batmobile is a little bit tricky to handle.
Sure.
A little bit too. But I don't. It's not, like, vastly skewed in that direction, in my opinion. Not, like, driving the Batmobile all of the time. But yeah, I mean, they definitely wanted to make it a featured part of the game instead of just a, like, oh, and by the way, now you can kind of drive the Batmobile a little bit.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that, actually, because it's one of those things where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
Rocksteady didn't just want to do a brand new Arkham game, but the same exact thing, just different story. So I'm glad that they added that.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, there's maybe a couple, I'm fairly far in the game now. I'm trying to pace myself with it and not just blow through it in a weekend, you know? And
normally, you would have platted this by
normally,
now.
I would have, but I am making a very conscious effort to, like, side mission, little bit of the main mission, side, okay. side, drive the Batmobile, look for Riddler trophies, take a break, walk the dog, whatever, like, not just sit there.
Take a break, go to work.
I'm trying not to sit there for 12 continuous hours, straight hours, and just plow through this thing. Like, I'm trying to enjoy it. Make it last.
Enjoy your meal.
Exactly. Yeah, savor every bite.
Savor.
Yeah. So there were a couple times where I'm like, I don't really want to use a Batmobile right now. But you know what? I'll just go do a different mission where I don't need to use a Batmobile to do stuff. So,
well, sir, while you've been playing this tiny little game that very few people have heard of,
mm-hmm.
Arkham, what is it again?
Arkham
Rook.
Knight.
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 Got it. I've been playing the world-famous AAA Super Exploding Soup.
Is that the one with that super awesome combat system with Predator? And yeah. He fights all these guys attacking him with these awesome combo maneuvers?
Yeah.
You can shoot him with a Batmobile? And...
No, it's a Zoomobile.
Oh, the Zoomobile. Excuse me.
That's right.
Okay.
And I can play this game because it's all 2D and colorful, so I can see what's happening even if I can't see definition. But this game is surprisingly addicting. I told you about the other day, I just wanted to try it out for like 20, 30 minutes. Wound up playing the damn thing for over 90 minutes. Same thing the other night, just wanted to play it for a half hour. I was doing some work on my own time for my day job. Want to take a break, play like 20 or 30 minutes of it, wound up playing it for over an hour. It is so addicting, it's crazy. For those of you out there who do not know, just so brief, because Steve could not care.
I'm interested. I'm more interested in the fact that the idea that you're like, I wanted to play for 30 minutes, but instead I played for an hour!
Oh!
It's not like... I wanted to play for 30 minutes, and then it was Wednesday.
Well, this isn't World of Warcraft here.
That's true.
This is considerably less in-depth.
Sure.
But the basic conceit is it's a puzzle game where every level you have to protect this egg from aliens who want to eat it.
And God damn aliens.
Always eating eggs.
God!
Right?
Fine.
God! And you
that's the concept of Alien 4 when it comes out. The xenomorphs, eggs!
It's basically Friends, except the neighbor just wants to borrow eggs all the time. It's the alien. Get out of here, alien!
Eggs!
But, so you play, you start off every level as an animal, and you go around and you wake up your other animal buddies, and then you attack the aliens because all the animals explode, as most animals do. But where it gets addicting is they start immediately introducing other types of animals that can do different things. They introduce crocodiles that can form land bridges to other land masses. They introduce meerkats that can dig into the earth and pop up in different places, or dig up explosives that you can use an elephant to explode. They have they have monkeys that can climb vines.
Oh,
Steve, it's great.
Yeah.
And all the aliens, they have a certain number of hits before you are falling asleep. So I'll wrap this up.
This is the most boring explanation of a picture book I've ever heard in my life.
But it is really addicting. I can't do it justice by explaining it.
You honestly were just like, and Steve, what do the crocodiles do? They form land bridges. And what do the meerkats do? They dig. That's right. And then the elephants come, and they come with a big tusk, and they push down the meerkats. But they're still friends until they explode. What, Dad? What? Why do meerkats explode?
But Steve, you're missing the aliens.
Oh, right.
So you attack these aliens with these cute little animals, and they explode. And that's the game.
Oh, yeah. Sounds awesome. I should definitely stop playing Arkham Knight and start playing Super Picture Book Alien Fun Story Time.
Hey, it's difficult to explain an addicting game like this. Like, yeah, how do you describe Angry Birds?
You've done a bad job.
Thank you. How do you explain Angry Birds to somebody who's never explained it or never seen it before? Yeah, do you throw birds with a slingshot at a building to kill pigs? Oh, well, that sounds great.
Sounds better than what you just said.
What are you talking about?
What?
You get different animals, they do different things, the different aliens come by,
Why did you just become Jerry Seinfeld? What are you talking about? You got the aliens and your dogs. And they explode and you've got crocodiles and...
What?
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out, Wes. Whatever. Fine.
Yeah. Oh, so, God. I'm going to punch you in your stupid face.
Fine. So, moving on to some emails we got from this last week.
Nope, Steve. Instead of emails, we're going to have a super exploding zoo segment where I explain to you for the third time why this game is awesome.
Wes, do you need me to read the email since I have eyes that work?
You know what? No. My computer is directly in front of me. 3 inches away. I can read it. Because our first email from last week's Top 5, which was our Top 5 Deathmatch.
Yes, our character deathmatch.
Nathaniel writes in, our old buddy Nathaniel.
Oh, Nathaniel.
He writes in his picks for our categories. For his video game creature, he writes the ultimate weapon from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I almost... Yes, it's a very, very good pick.
All right. I do not know because I've never played Final Fantasy VII.
That's because you suck.
Okay. Well, I couldn't see it even if I did play. His mail from TV, Noah Bennett from Heroes. Now, you've never seen Heroes.
I have seen Heroes. I saw the first two seasons of Heroes.
He is the man with the horn-rimmed glasses.
Oh, yeah.
He is consistently one of the most badass characters in a show where everyone else has superpowers. In fact, if you classify MacGyver's ability to pull rocket coffins out of his ass as a superpower, Noah is definitely the man to take him down. He has to... Now, I'll defend this a little bit. Noah Bennett has to contend with all these crazy superheroes, I guess, for lack of a better word.
People with superpowers.
Thank you. So he has to enter that world and take him down. And he's just a man. He's just a man.
I'll tell you who's more than just a man. MacGyver.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like I did MacGyver pretty good last week. I feel like Heroes guy is not going to take MacGyver down.
Well, we'll have to see an hour.
Yeah, I guess we'll see when that show comes out.
Yep. His animal is, since we're allowing Harry Potter animals, I'll throw in the basilisk. Doesn't matter how awesome giant eagles are if they're turned to stone.
Ah.
That's a good point.
That is true.
But his female from a film, not a clear victory, but I think Black Widow would hold her own against your entries. She would definitely hold her own.
I definitely think she'd hold her own as well. However, the bride would slaughter all.
And the child, I honestly can't think of any children more badass than Hit Girl and Matilda, so just for fun, I like to pit the two of them as a duo against Kevin from Home Alone. I'm not saying they wouldn't win, but it would be very funny to watch. I don't know.
That's fantastic. However, it very much depends the environment in which the fight is happening.
That's right.
If the fight is in Kevin's home, I mean, our ladies are no wet bandits. Let's just put it that way. Honestly, I feel like Matilda would seduce the shit out of a young Macaulay Culkin, and that'd be over real fast.
Sure, sure. Don't forget Hit Girl with all the flipping around. She's
But it's a really funny concept of those two like murder machines going through his paint can swinging, you know, BB gun shooting house, which is great.
By the way, for those of you who have not listened to it yet, Steve and I, one of our previous podcasts were our top five wet bandit traps.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fun one as well.
It was.
But anyway, Duncan Parker Newton Games.
Duncan Parker Newton Games.
Duncan Parker Newton Games writes in his top five. His number five video game monster, the final Colossus from Shadow of the Colossus.
Yes.
Neither of your monsters had the magic sword with which to attack its magical weak points, and frankly, you could crush them both easily, plus insane giant lasers.
I feel like that's a really great tagline to put on anything. It's like, hey, do you want to come over to my baby shower? By the way, giant insane lasers.
His TV dude is Commander Worf from Star Trek The Next Generation, the ultimate badass from an entire planet of people devoted to being badasses. Even if MacGyver made a cheeseburger fighter jet, Worf could just beam him into fucking space where he will die painfully, assuming he hasn't murdered the shit out of him in hand-to-hand combat already.
Well, that is a very strong argument. That is a very strong argument.
And his number three, the mythical movie monster, is Godzilla. Godzilla would dine on radiation roasted eagle and hippogriff that evening. Sorry, Wes. Size trumps speed 9,999 times out of 10,000.
So what he's saying is mine is better than yours. And Godzilla is stupid.
Yeah, I read between the lines.
That's what he was trying to say.
Yeah. His movie Femme Fatale, Trinity from The Matrix.
Yes, but...
Oh?
Trinity's got to be fighting in The Matrix, though.
Oh, that's right. It was no superpowers.
Yes.
Wasn't that one of the things?
Yeah, we were trying to keep it superpowerless.
Did we say that?
We never did.
Okay.
Well. We talked about it like 15 times on our own, and I realized after we finished, we never said it on the podcast.
Yeah, that would probably be a good thing to have said.
Yeah, probably should have mentioned that. But
but anyway, his number one, the movie child, Matilda from Matilda.
That's what my wife said, too.
I know. She's a telekinetic. Actual superpowers, Trump, training, or psychosis again.
Yes. That is exactly what my wife said. She's like, as soon as I heard you say Matilda, I was like, yes, great pick. Then you said Matilda from The Professional. And she said, no, bad pick. So you should have gone with regular Matilda. God, and I didn't even think about it. It's been a long, long time.
But she's so peaceful, and she's living a happy life now. She wouldn't destroy these two. The other two would destroy her.
I don't know, man. As soon as you control somebody's mind, or like the things around them with your mind, that's tough to beat.
But they'll keep coming, and she'll just keep, like, I don't know, putting cake in their way, whatever the hell she does. That's all I remember from that movie, is that one huge cake. Right? That's that movie.
Why did you not defeat Matilda? My lord, she put yet another cake in my path. How am I to defeat the Queen of Sweets? When all she does is place delicious cakes in my path.
By the time I'm done eating it, she's already gone.
That is tough to beat. No doubt about it.
So obviously, Cake Matilda would win out.
I think what we found out is cake trumps all.
That's right.
Words to live by.
Guys, thank you so much for writing in. As always, we love, love, love to hear what you guys have to say, because we find out so many new things, like cake trumps everything else.
But without further ado, let's get into this week's top five.
Which is, what are we doing, Steve?
We are doing our very first mashup / crossover, as in, what characters, what TV shows, what movies, video game characters do you want to see make an appearance in another world?
Now, this was actually written in by Michelle. So, Michelle, thank you so much for writing in.
Yes, thank you, Michelle.
So, but Steve, I think I went first last week. No, we went together last week, as good friends always do.
Lead us off, Wes. Go ahead. Take the
honors. Are you sure?
I am.
Are you sure? I don't want to take yours.
No, please.
Okay. Well, my number five, I wasn't going to include this because I'm actually not supposed to, but your wife texted me this, and I'm like, well, Holly, it just made the list. I am going Dean and Sam from Supernatural, the Winchesters, teaming up with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I know I'm not supposed to do Joss Whedon.
It's okay. It's been a long time.
It has. But your wife texted me this specifically.
Okay. Give me the concept of what I'm seeing here.
Well, both of these shows, first of all, have great writers. plus the fact that they're both in the supernatural realm. So I just assume Dean and Sam, which travel all around the country, they find the a case, as they call it, in Sunnydale, California, where the Slayer resides. So they meet up, they're investigating the same thing, and of course, at first, as most team-ups do, they start as antagonists, and then they fight each other. Slayer with his superpowers, and Dean and Sam Winchester, like, trying to kill her, because they don't know what she is. They think she's a demon or something. And then they, of course, team up, and they fight the gigantic evil together. But why this is so great is because there are bunches of characters in each show that are beloved, that will go great together. For example, Giles and Sam Winchester can geek out together about the lore of demonology. Buffy and Dean Winchester would probably spar a lot because Dean's like big and burly and brawny, and he would not like being taken down by a girl. And if we're going the earlier Supernatural seasons with Bobby, when Bobby was still part of the show, Bobby and Giles, who are both father figures in their own respective shows, could have like I'm proud of my son's better than your daughter. Well, my daughter's better than your son kind of conversation. There's so many things that can happen because really in the supernatural realm, the possibilities are endless. But the reason why this made my list is because I'm huge fans of both of these shows and I'm a sucker for this type of fantasy genre in these two shows.
Who would their villain be?
See, I don't know. I don't know if it should be something in the Slayer verse or the supernatural verse. But it'd be really funny if Crowley, who's the king of hell in the supernatural universe, would be the main big bad. Because Sunnydale is on a hellmouth, so Crowley would probably visit there time and time again.
Sure.
So there you go. That's my pitch. I didn't realize we were doing pitches, but
oh, yeah.
That's my off-the-cuff pitch.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm lukewarm on it.
Well, that's because you haven't seen either of those shows.
Yeah, I'm lukewarm.
God damn it, Steve. Why didn't you tell me we were doing pitches?
Because how else are you going to sell these shows?
I don't know. I can't see anything, Steve.
That is true. That is true. Well, my number five is way better. And my number five is going to be a collabo between one of my favorite shows of all time, The Office. And we're going to take the cast of The Office, and we are going to put them in a truly horrifying horror movie. So it's going to be a horror movie. We're basically putting them in The Conjuring. Okay. We're going to do like a sequel to The Conjuring, but it's going to be filmed and featuring all of the people from The Office. So there's going to be these horrifying moments, like if you've seen The Conjuring, you know, moments where like say Phyllis goes into the kitchen to make something for Vance refrigeration. like I'm just gonna whip up some brownie. All of a sudden, like something horrifying happens to Phyllis. There's going to be like some creepy little girl appears like no eyeballs and like grabs Phyllis by the hair and like spins her around on the ground. Something, and then they're gonna cut to Phyllis with like her hair all like pulled up and just with this shocked look on her face, be like, I was just going to make the brownies. and then of course they cut to Dwight, like classic case of, you know, supernatural, like thank God at Shroot Farms I've been able to so it's going to be this comedic but also truly horrifying film going on at the same time, already with the characters that you know and love from The Office.
You know what? I do love a good horror comedy, and that would be great.
And I feel like that is a very, very difficult genre to do well. Tucker and Dale versus Evil does it really well. Cabin in the Woods, I know you guys really like, does that well. So this would be that documentary style, like filming that The Office does the best. And those characters that you already love, like obviously Dwight is going to be your main ghost hunter kind of guy, but like it's not just Michael Scott being goofy. It's like Michael Scott being goofy then literally scaring the life out of him. It's like, ah!
Wait, literally?
Literally Michael Scott's gonna die. Sorry, in this particular one Michael Scott dies.
That's awesome.
It's gonna be I feel like the juxtaposition of those two things is gonna be great.
All right.
So we're doing a horror office movie.
Okay, well, I have a bare bones of a pitch in my mind for number four here.
Well, put some meat on them bones, baby.
All right, here we go. It's Men in Black and the original Die Hard. Picture this.
Hold on. So tell me, are the Men in Black going into the Die Hard world, or is Die Hard coming into the Men in Black
world? Men in Black are going to the Die Hard world.
Okay.
Now, let's just use Die Hard as a bare bones here. Now, let's say Hans Gruber and his associates, instead of being, what, German terrorists?
Oh, very German.
Yes. Let's say that they are now aliens. All right? So the same basic plot structure, but John McClane has to team up with Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones to get these aliens out of the Nakatomi Plaza. All right? And it can still have these awesome action sequences, except now it's with alien technology. And we still have sequences of John McClane going into squeezing through air ducts. And it's like, yeah. Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones keep trying to, you know, do the flashy thing, the neuralizer on him. But he's John McClane, so he's like, nope. He keeps.
Yeah, nice.
He keeps, like, evading them as well.
Wait, so how did these guys get together? What is so John McClane is there for the Christmas party,
yeah,
like normal Die Hard.
Yeah.
But, oh no, aliens have locked down the Nakatomi Plaza.
Steve, it starts out as the same basic plot as Die Hard, except then Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones come in. And then we realize that Hans Gruber and his group of terrorists are actually aliens.
So how is Die Hard any better by adding Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones to it? This is what I want to know.
Because aliens make everything better, Steve.
Fine. Do Die Hard with aliens. Fine.
Good.
Why do Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones need to be there? What the fuck does Bruce Willis need with those two, dude? What does John McClane need with them? Well, Will Smith would be like, I'm going to say some funny catchphrase, and John McClane has already walked out of the room and killed two other aliens.
No, he can't. He can't, because he needs their weapons. He needs the Men in Black's weapons. To kill aliens? I mean, you've seen Men in Black. Billets don't do shit.
Okay.
Steve, you should be way more excited about this.
I mean, Die Hard is a phenomenal action movie. Potentially the greatest action movie of all time.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it has a whole lot of room to get better.
I'm not saying this is going to be a different thing, Steve.
You're not saying it's going to be different?
You heard me
except
correctly.
Except for the fact that it's going to be totally different with aliens and Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith in it,
Steve,
walking around in suits, neuralizing people.
Yeah, and then Hans Gruber keeps eating people because he's an alien now. Steve,
yeah.
Have I mentioned I can't see very well right now?
You have, so you didn't have the foresight to see that this was a terrible idea? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I don't know what you're saying. My number four is Men in Black in the Die Hard universe. I can't wait. We'll call it Men in John McClane.
That isn't the movie you explained to me at all. In fact, sir, the name of an incredibly hardcore porno.
Is that better or worse than what I just described?
After seeing that, I would like to be neuralized. I'll tell you that.
All right, sounds
right
good.
Now. Wow. Okie dokie. All right. Well, my number four is also better.
Than Men in John McClane.
Good luck topping that one.
Woo, man.
It's actually John McClane in Women. That's what this is.
See, what I originally thought was we would put two universes together and we'd both come up with a pitch together. That's what I originally thought this top five was going to be.
Oh.
Us teaming it up like last week. Except last week we were against each other. Not the best comparison. I don't see very well. But you know what I'm getting at? That's what I thought we were doing.
Wrong.
Great.
Yes.
God.
My number four.
You're so devious. You give me an idea for a top five. I have an idea in my head. You don't correct me. Well, I don't tell you it. So that you get to come in Just droughts all over everything.
Well, get better ideas.
God damn it. What's your number four?
My number four. We are going into the world of Lord of the Rings. One of the most rich... I mean, it's obviously the book universe is much more in-depth than that a film could ever be.
Sure.
But we're going to take the film universe of the Lord of the Rings. And while this is potentially the pinnacle of wizards and warlocks and orcs and knights, we are going to add in another wizard. We're going to add in Harry Potter.
Okay.
We're going to add in Harry Potter into the Lord of the Rings universe. I would imagine this is going to happen somewhere along the line. So we do the opening sequence where the Fellowship is established, and they start going on their trail, and then they find out that there is tell of another great wizard out there. And like Gandalf said, like, you know, there has been, like, the stars have aligned, whatever. We believe that there is another wizard out there. So not just now delivering the ring to Mordor is part of it. The only way to defeat the other, like, dark wizards out there and to finally take down Sauron is to get this great wizard that is, like, the good wizard. So Gandalf helps to find what we will now reveal that is a Harry Potter character, this child wizard that will become part of the Fellowship. So, I mean, I am not opposed to adding Hermione Granger in there at any point. Give me more Emma Watson. That's just fine. So now you have a very, very rich world in the Harry Potter universe as well. But I think you're putting him in a bigger world in Lord of the Rings. It's the world. I don't know. It just feels bigger to me.
Sure.
So a lot of the things that make Harry Potter great about this, like, impending doom that keeps, like, searching him out and, like, trying to escape his fate or meet his fate. Same kind of concepts happened, but in this, in my opinion, even better world that is Lord of the Rings. So you still have your Sam, you still have your Frodo, but now you get to add in a Harry Potter into that mix. And you also get the classic story of, you know, just like in the original Harry Potter, of this boy over a series of films, you know, reaching his true potential. And then you're going to see this amazing, just like the Voldemort fight, but it's going to be against Sauron! and then it's going to be like, it's going to be Harry Potter and Gandalf again in like an army of eagles versus Saruman and Sauron, and it's going to be great. And then you know what? At this point, you can probably kill off Frodo at some point and just let...
Finally
kill. Because honestly, Harry Potter is way better than Frodo. So you get Frodo and gone. You get Harry Potter taking the ring, and that's like the final piece of his power. You get that. And then you can have a gay sex scene with Harry Potter and Sam, because you wanted that, because you wanted that the whole time in Lord of the Rings. So now you can finally get it there.
Yeah,
there now I've brought in men inside John McClane into a much more, since we're going with gay pornography as apparently the thesis statement of everything. There you go. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Putting Harry Potter in that world where he can be even darker and even an even bigger battle to me, it would be awesome.
Sure. Okay. Yes. Let's do that. Now, my number three, I think you could get behind.
John McClane.
Yep. It is Predator.
Yes.
Versus Alien. Versus the Terminator.
Okay.
Now, here's my bare bones pitch that I threw together as you were describing whatever bullshit you were talking about. No.
The greatest fantasy epic of all time?
Yes.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. So this takes place on, like, a mining colony, like most alien movies do. But the Predators show up. and at the same time... The humans on that mining colony, I'm not quite sure how they discover the aliens, but maybe they discover the aliens somehow. You know what I mean? They discover the eggs somehow.
Yeah.
Either on the...
As they were mining, they found an underground cavern kind of thing, and there were the eggs.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, what's this? It opens, and a facehugger, and there you go.
Yeah. And then as the Predator shows up, because, you know, the Predator's just cruising around looking for fights. Predator shows up, parks his ass on the planet, starts killing everybody. The Terminator comes out of nowhere, rises up butt-ass naked. You realize that the human rebels, in the future, the Predators take over this mining outpost. And then they created the Terminators in the future to send them back so that the Predators would not take over the mining outpost. Because... Or even, let's go further, even the Predators versus Aliens, they turn this planet into a just wasteland. And humans, like, nuked it from orbit or something like that.
Well, what if... Oh, sorry. You can continue.
No, that's... that's as far as I got.
Well, what if the humans... they defeated in the future, shall we say. They defeated the Predators and the... Or, excuse me. The Predators and the Aliens. Sure, what the hell. Let's say they defeated them both. And then that gave them these, like... supercharged weapons and armor and stuff, and that's how humans were then able to defeat the Terminators. So the Terminator, in a way to prevent its own extinction, sends the T-1000 back in time to then kill the Predator, kill the humans, kill the aliens, to make sure that humankind never gets that kind of power so that the Terminators will reign supreme.
Interesting. So it would be Terminators versus... Predators versus humans versus aliens.
Yeah, well, to be quite honest, the very beginning part of this is Aliens versus Predator the movie. Because that's what it is.
But then the Terminator comes in. No, a lot of options here. We got a lot of...
There's...
And I really want to see, I don't know if they did this in the second AVP, but at the end of the first AVP, spoiler alert, the Predator alien... gets burst out of the Predator's chest.
Yes.
Do we ever see that in the second one?
I did watch the second one, and to be honest, I don't remember.
Well, I want to see that in this movie. The facehugger on the Predator.
Okay.
And then the chest bursting, the Predator alien. Then they have a whole something new to contend with.
Okay.
Let's expand this universe, and then throw in the Terminator to kill everybody else.
Okay, so who do you think wins this battle?
Nobody.
But everybody loses.
Everybody loses.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I will watch the shit out of this movie.
Oh, of course.
There's no doubt I will watch the shit. Give me one really good kill that's going to be in this film.
Oh, well, I think there has to be one kill where the three badasses... Predators, Aliens, and Terminator, like, kill the same person at the same time.
Ooh, good.
So, like, the Predator has their laser sights on them, as the Alien has their weird double mouth cocked and ready to go, as the T-1000 has their blade, like, shooting at them, and then, like, the dude gets shot, impaled, and mouth-faced at the same time.
All right, my super badass kill from this movie is going to be the T-1000. It had previously, like nicked the alien, so now it has like the ability to turn into the alien sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the Predator is gonna like be fighting with the alien, and then like this hook is gonna come in from the like behind the alien and like through its belly, and then the T-1000 is gonna come right in front of it, and it looks like a T-1000, and the alien's gonna like do its like as the like snaps the mouth, and the T-1000 is gonna like put a hole in the middle of its face, like a donut. So, like, it goes right in the middle. And then the T-1000 is going to keep his, like, cop body, but he's going to turn his head into an alien head. And then as he pulls his mouth back, instead of another mouth comes out, he's going to do that, like, giant point that he turns his arm into out of the mouth and stab an alien. But that's when the T-1000 is going to realize it has acid blood. And as it shoots it through the mouth, it's going to melt that point off, and the T-1000 is going to be like, what the f-? And that part of it, so now the T-1000 is lost, I don't know, you know, like an eighth of its ability.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's whatever the size of its body.
And I'm sure the Predator has acid shit, too.
Acid shit, man. Oh, my
acid
God.
Shit.
He stopped for some bad fried chicken on the way to the planet.
Yeah.
He's like, oh,
God. Why'd I go to space, Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Oh, space cassie.
Oh, no.
God, I hate space KFC.
Oh, man. So, yeah, a lot of options here, man. A lot of options. So
but
that's...
Could you imagine being a person, just a human on that planet?
Nope.
Like, oh, shit, there's those weird aliens. What is that? Is that a, liquid robot.
So, guys, are we screwed here?
We're done, right?
We're screwed, right?
We're done? Is this where Suicide Pact kicks in?
Yeah.
Is that what happens now?
So it's either we all kill each other, or our spines get ripped out, or chest bursted, or T-1000.
Just pick one, man. Just go with it and pick one.
Is that Robert Patrick?
No, it's Terminator! Okay, my numero tres, which, by the way, is going to have the greatest theme song ever, because it already has the greatest theme song ever. And it goes a little something like this. Oh, you know what this is.
Refresh my memory.
Oh, my God. It's American Gladiators.
Oh, yeah.
Best, one of the best theme songs of all time. So we're taking American Gladiators, which is a phenomenal show. I have the first season on DVD,
yes.
And my wife and I are watching it, and it is great. But what we're going to do, instead of adding, you know, regular, somewhat athletic contestants, we are going to mash it up, and we are bringing on the Real Housewives of wherever the fuck. I don't care. Whichever one you hate the most, Miami or Orange County or New York, New Jersey, I don't care. Whatever. Gonna have all these pre-Madonna women with their long, like, you know, all manicured face and the $500 hair job and the nails, and we are playing without pads. So we are gonna run the gauntlet of America. I'm not gonna make like, it's not gonna be like spikes, you know, and stuff, and like it's regular American Gladiators, except we're not wearing headgear. We're not wearing what we are just fucking going for it.
Nice.
We are going for it. So for those who don't remember the classic game Powerball, mm-hmm. Let me explain Powerball to you real quick.
You pick six numbers.
And then you wait for the guy with the rotating drum of balls to bring out the winning numbers. And if you lose, you get tackled. Powerball is like there's little like hoops on the ground. There's three or four hoops on the ground, and your job is to run from one end with a ball and like dunk it in this hoop that's like waist high. In the meantime, there are three gladiators in there that are trying to tackle you and smash you into the ground so you cannot do it. It is an enormously enjoyable event to watch, especially with like world class kind of athletes like the American Gladiators are,
mm-hmm.
but with these completely unathletic crybaby drama queens that are just going to be smashed into the ground. Just smashed. And honestly, if Real Housewives doesn't work for you, I mean, pick, maybe it could be a collection of like daytime, like TV host people for like talk show. Like, I don't even know. Like Tyra Banks and whoever that does their daytime talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe the ladies of The View could put on. Whoopi Goldberg gets pile driven. There is something so enormously satisfying about superior athletic people trouncing subpar people.
Okay, you just completely sold me on it. To see Whoopi Goldberg. It just
doing joust with nitro. Whoopi Goldberg has a pugil stick, and like, and 3, 2, 1, smash! 40-pound pugil stick smash from a guy who's 240 straight to Whoopi Goldberg's head. Off she goes.
Or like in Powerball, she takes two steps and just three muscle-bound maniacs dive out of nowhere and tear her into pieces.
It's going to be amazing. And the thing is, so like, for episode 1, we'll do Real Housewives of wherever. Episode 2, we'll do daytime talk show hosts. Day 3, we'll do like the douchebags from the real world.
There you go.
It's basically any people on television that you want to punish. You can then put them on American Gladiators to be destroyed.
Can it be like the people on Celebrity Apprentice?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or it could be Donald Trump.
Yeah. Through the presidential race of 2016.
The presidential losers then have to go, like, if you run in the primary, you may win the presidency. However, if you lose, you have to do a gauntlet at American Gladiators. Keep that in mind, Jeb Bush. And you too, Hillary Clinton. Like, it'd be, you know, you could have an entire season of the people that the world hates that could just get their asses handed to them. But what if in, like, in the Middle East, we grab people from ISIS, like, and we put them against the American Gladiators? How more American can you be?
This week, the prisoners from Guantanamo Bay.
It would be amazing. I'm just saying, this should have been my number one. Now that I'm really talking it out, that shit is legit. Too legit to quit. This is a $1 million idea. All right, and right now each of us need to come up with two American Gladiators, guys that actually exist right now that we would make gladiators.
Oh, guys that actually, obviously, The Rock and Batista.
Oh, dude, that's a strong duo right there.
Yep, right there.
That is a very strong duo. I'm going to go with John Bones Jones, who was the MMA champion for UFC.
Okay.
Until he got, like, in trouble with drinking and driving or something. Regardless, dude's crazy. He's on my team. And you know what? Just for good measure, I don't know if this is going to hit with people because I don't know if they pay attention to sports, but Herschel Walker, I'm just telling you right now, if you will never, ever, ever in your life see a more in-shape 48-year-old dude who just horrifies me, I'm putting Herschel Walker in there.
All right.
And just for fun, I'm also going to put Mike Tyson in there because he's not going to win every time, but my God, when he wins, it's going to be amazing.
And a mess.
And we're going to have to clean up. It's going to be bad. So anyway, my number three, which should have been way higher now, is the American Gladiators versus the people you hate.
All right, well, my number two is, do you remember that really semi-crappy movie, Freddy versus Jason?
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm a huge fan of the original, like, the Friday the 13th series and the Nightmare on Elm Street series. So I actually kind of liked the Freddy versus Jason movie. But what I wanted, what was kicked around for a while, but it never happened, movie-wise, at least, was Freddy versus Jason versus Ash from the Evil Dead series. Mm. So it starts out like any other horror film in the world. A bunch of teenagers go out to
a spooky cabin.
Or maybe it should be a bunch of middle-aged people, because Bruce Campbell isn't a spring chicken anymore.
True, true.
So maybe it's a couple's getaway at a spooky cabin.
Spooky.
And then Jason starts picking them off. But at the end of Freddy versus Jason, if I'm not mistaken, Freddy was still inside Jason's head, still inside his dreams. Now, if you've seen the Nightmare on Elm Street series, you can get Freddy out of your dreams and into your car. That's something different. By hanging on to him. I don't know, you know what? Scratch that. I'm going down the wrong road here. Jason starts picking off people, but since Freddy is still in his head, like, he could still jump into other people's dreams as well. So they got Freddy to deal with. They got Jason to deal with. And then Freddy versus Jason are still, like, battling it out in Jason's head. So you have those scenes as well. Ash starts being more and more badass as, you know, the Evil Dead humor and action starts coming into play. And and eventually he gets his chainsaw hand back. Because, hello, you have to have Ash with the chainsaw hand.
Right.
Then Jason takes Freddy from out of his head, from his dreams, into the real world. And then the three of them, as Ash is a lone survivor, covered in blood with a chainsaw hand. He's a silver fox with his gray hair, but is streaked with blood. Did I mention he's covered in blood?
You mentioned
it's a trio of awesomeness as they're all looking at each other from the three points across this open field. And they rush at each other, all like Braveheart style. And they, with Ash with his chainsaw, Freddy with his knife hand, Jason with his machete and hockey mask, and then they're gonna chop each other to bits. And that's my Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
It's not bad.
So, did I get you? Was that, not, did I explain it pretty well?
It's not bad, because there is something, there's something about that scene of, like, an open field with, like, a little bit of mist kind of blowing, mm-hmm. and these knowing that these dudes are going to battle essentially to the death.
Because
that's actually, I think it's in Predators, I think. There's actually a great scene where I think the Predator is in a field with like a samurai guy, and then that's the setup. I'm like, that's just a really beautiful shot. And to kind of bring that into the horror movie, yeah, that's an exciting, and I think we kind of skipped real quick over the, like, the humor action that would be part of it as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think both of us are bringing in the comedic horror, which is such a hard genre, as we mentioned.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very strong. You know what? That's some good stuff. Some good stuff.
The first one on my list that Steve has actively said, that's all right.
And you know what would be an amazing cameo in this? I wouldn't call it necessarily a mashup, but a great cameo. As the three of them are staring each other down in this field, it's right next to this little creek. And then in this little boat, you see Tucker and Dale. Like, they go, oh, Tuck, we got to go. We got to go. Yeah, we got to. They just row faster. Like, that'd be just a great little tip of that.
And, of course, the movie wouldn't end there with
three of them.
Because, like, even if they do rush at each other, which I'm not sold on, like, it'd eventually become more guerrilla tactics as Jason is just that unstoppable force. Just
yeah.
Pounding through the freaking forest or whatever. Ash is, you know, he's a little bit more, like, he's gone full guerrilla warrior with, he's probably got camo on now at this point. And Freddy's just creepily slinking along like a jungle cat. Like, oh man, I am really excited. I want this movie to happen now.
Yeah, I don't, when they all start running at each other, I feel like that's a setup to Ash not getting all the way there and having some sort of trap set up, you know, whatever that may be. It's, they start as a run. But I feel like they're not going to get together. Maybe they do. I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
That's my number two. Freddy not versus bad, man. Jason versus
not
Ash.
Bad. You know what? I'm going to do a last-minute swap. Because you kind of talked about one a little. So I'm going to just spend 1 second talking about now what was my number two. No, I'll keep my. Sorry. I take that back. I'm going to keep my number two, But I'm going to make an honorable mention real quick, just because I think it'd be a super badass movie. Just
well, good. I have a couple honorable mentions I'd like to talk about as well,
real
so
quick,
please, go ahead.
A few of my favorite movies of the last few years are these very straightforward action films, including Judge Dredd,
yeah,
John Wick,
oh yeah,
and Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
All three of them, very straightforward action movies. As I mentioned, I love that they strip away the extra bullshit. They're three very different styles of fighting and whatnot as well. And I'm not going to get into the whole thing. I just think the three of them, or a combination of any of those two together, would be an awesome, awesome movie to watch. It'd be like an Expendables, but just so much fucking better.
So, Judge Maxwick.
That's... actually, I think that's a show from the BBC.
Okay.
Anyway, I am Judge Maxwick.
You're guilty.
You're guilty. You're sentenced to being fabulous.
Oh, wow.
It's a fashion show.
Oh, wow. This is
all right, my real number two. I don't want to get into that. I just wanted to say I think there'd be an awesome mashup combo of those three. My number two. You did mention the aliens. I had to mention. You mentioned Buffy.
All right.
You're banished.
Of course.
I am banished from Alien, but I have to mention this one because it's two of my favorite things of all time. I'm going to take the aliens, the xenomorphs. But I'm not going to have them fight aliens and Terminators. I'm going to have them fight Solid Snake.
Oh, that could be interesting.
It was so good I had to put it on the list.
Yeah.
Here's the idea to me, is that we all know the storyline of Metal Gear Solid is fucking bananas.
Yep.
So quite honestly, getting him in a position to fight aliens is really not that far-fetched. It really is not.
Sure.
But I imagine, like, let's just say Snake has finished this current operation and, like, he's like, I'm done with this stuff. He's like, I'm going to go find peace, you know, whatever, in space. Like, they're colonizing a new planet. He wants to start anew, something like that. And because of his unique genetic structure of being a clone, he can make the trip easier than other people can. Only to find out that this place already has a pocket of xenomorphs there. Of course, everyone else dies except for Snake. So one of the cool things about the Alien movies, you always have the technology in those movies. The cool guns, you know, the proximity meter thing. So Snake is already built in with cool weapons and gadgets and stuff like that as well. So he's kind of space marine-ish in a way, but like, there's those great scenes of the aliens crawling up the ventilation ducts. And we all know Solid Snake used ventilation ducts.
Yeah.
So there's going to be that kind of thing. There's going to be a great moment of Snake like trying to evade a predator, and he's gonna hide in a cardboard box, and it's gonna work. It's gonna work. So it's gonna be Snake basically, I mean, a million miles from home, all by himself, on like this very final straw. And he's always a tactical espionage guy. Uh-huh. It is gonna be Snake after trying to sneak around the aliens for a while, just say, fuck it. And he's going to go full, like, Ripley in Aliens.
Yeah.
And he's just going to grab all the guns he can. He's going to set the place to explode. He's going to just mow aliens down. He's like, I don't care. I've done enough killing in my life. I don't like, I don't care. If they get me, they get me. I'm taking as many of them down as I can. And you know, Snake, he's going to be tattered, torn, he's going to be slashed by aliens, he's going to have acid burns.
Sure.
But you know.
With a cigarette hanging out of
his mouth. And then there's going to be a great moment where, like, there's going to be, like, an alien, like, pinned in the door next to him. And, like, it's, like, just out, like, just snapping right at the side of his face. Snake's not even going to bat an eye. He's going to reach down. Like, it's going to be his last cigarette. Like, yeah. When he gets on the ship, he's going to have a pack of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the last cigarette. And he's going to light it. He's going to, like, open the airlock and blow him and the alien out of the airlock.
Oh, shit!
You know, something like that. He's just going to just do a one-liner. He takes one puff. He's like, it was impossible for me to quit. You know, like, yeah. It's always been hard to quit. Shaboosh! Like, as they go.
People said this shit'll kill me.
Yeah.
Shaboosh!
Yeah, something like just, there's going to be an awesome one-liner that he delivers, blows him out of the airlock or whatever. Like, and then you'll realize something like, in typical Metal Gear fashion, that on the ship, in another, like, hypersleep bed, there's another clone of Snake. Or, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. And then, who knows, maybe there's an alien, like, looking over the clone as, you know, as credits roll.
Hey,
or whatever.
We got options here.
Just Snake using his tactical part of him and then just embracing full action hero.
Sure.
And just doing it. Just doing it.
Man, I watched the shit out of that movie.
Yeah. Or play the shit out of that game.
Or, yeah, man. I was going to say, we haven't seen Solid Snake in a movie. Right?
No, we've not.
So, yeah, wouldn't that be hilarious if the first Metal Gear Solid movie is set in the Aliens universe? What, guys? What? I figured it'd be great.
Or maybe he blows the alien out of the airlock and he is still alive. And as he turns around, he sees a Predator ship landing and a Terminator ship landing. And then that's when he, like, pulls the last cigarette. He's like, I hope they brought more smokes. You know, or something.
Credits.
And then the next movie is Alien versus Predator versus Terminator versus Snake.
I was thinking, well, there goes the neighborhood.
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be awesome.
We already got a franchise, baby.
I know, right?
We already got franchises. Woo! On top of franchises.
It's like the Big Mac of franchises.
This is great, man.
Well, before I go to my number one, I had a few honorable mentions.
Please.
I wanted to... I thought this would be a terrible movie because it'd be 5 minutes long. The Terminator meets Back to the Future.
The two of them just keep trying to go back in time before the other.
Oh, no. I just pictured the Terminator coming back. Like, I need to kill Marty McFly. Blam! A mission accomplished.
Well, to be fair, if you actually think about the Terminator movies, that's what they should be as well.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Sarah Connor, an unassuming, you know, 27-year-old woman living in a city, giant murder robot. She should be dead very, very quickly. Like, super duper quickly. Like,
yeah.
Kill her while she's on the shitter.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Just dead.
But I also thought our little fight last week about Gina Carano and the Bride.
Yes.
What a great mashup that would make.
I mean, the Bride will slaughter her.
But I'm talking about, yeah, you know, shut up. But no, I'm talking about them teaming up. The Bride with her samurai skills, the Mallory Kane with her gunplay and her MMA.
Yeah.
Come on now. And then the last one to bring up is Cloverfield. That type, that monster and that type of, the found footage style in the Pacific Rim universe.
Oh, that'd actually be kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, like, just have, you know, the Pacific Rim
Kaiju.
Like, pick up the dude with the camera. So there's a huge close-up of this massive robot face. Like, oh, God! Like, anyway.
And then the Kaiju gets hit with a ship bat.
Oh, yeah. So my real number one is take the story from Injustice: Gods Among Us, the video game.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, it's where the Justice League in the real world get transported to another dimension where Superman turns evil, and in this dimension, he recruits other superheroes to join him as he conquers the world, because he's Superman.
Puts it on lockdown, basically.
Yeah. And he kills every other superhero that didn't follow him. So, for all intents and purposes, he may think he's benevolent, but he's kind of evil.
Evil.
But instead of the real-world Justice League, I'm going the real-world The Avengers. Now, why this made my number one? Because, A, I love that story. That was a really fascinating story for me.
It was really cool.
To see that in a movie form with Marvel Studios writing staff and directing staff, just to put all the Marvel humor in there with the DC seriousness as well. Because all the Marvel movies, for the most part, are really fun, but they don't really have a lot of the deep-seated emotions.
The darkness.
Exactly. But to see those two worlds collide in that way, to see the darkness and see like Superman as this villain that you can see where he's coming from. Because in that game story, you understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, you don't have to be a dick about it.
It was also because Lois Lane was killed, right, by the Joker?
Yeah.
I think?
Yeah, in that other dimension.
Right, right, yeah. So he decided to prevent that stuff from happening again. That's why he put the world on this lockdown, total control, you know, and like, and it also parodies well, like the current status, you know, with the NSA spying, you know, the sacrifice of freedom for security that we deal with in our society now. So there's that.
Sure, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, pretty poignant.
And also it's as you mentioned, the kind of lightness of Marvel versus the darkness of DC in a way. That's a nice juxtaposition as well.
Of course, but I'm just thinking just the action scenes that could be seen with, I'm thinking the original Avengers with Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America. Throw Black Widow and Hawkeye in there, who cares? But yeah, just to see those guys take against Superman and his little cadre of evil-ish heroes in the DC Universe, plus the fact that we never ever, well, hardly ever get to see Marvel versus DC, I just think it would make the blockbuster to end all blockbusters.
Yeah.
Especially if we did the actors from each current-day series.
And if they brought Christian Bale back as Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good. And then...
Oh, and... I guess spoilers for the story in this.
It's whatever.
But isn't that other dimension's Batman, isn't he kind of hiding out as well?
Yeah.
So, yep. Christian Bale teaming up with the Avengers?
Yeah.
Come on!
Pretty awesome. And then you'd have the Jared Leto Joker in there, which I'm excited about. I'm excited about that.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
And I think it'd be a really cool just the way that DC shoots this stuff has a grittier, just the way they film is darker, grittier in general, as opposed to like the really bright colors and stuff of Marvel. So when you go into that other dimension, when you go into the DC dimension of the evilness of it, or the control of it, the more muted colors, more graininess, more pixelated, like that would be pretty cool, actually.
Because when you think about it, why wouldn't they be able to do that? It's another dimension. Of course it's evil DC superheroes.
Well,
of course.
The thing that would drive me crazy about it is that it would take 12 years to tell the story.
Yeah.
Because it would be 2 Thor movies, 4 Iron Man movies, 4 Superman movies, 3 more Batman movies in between here, and a Black Widow throwaway, and here's an Ant-Man, by the way. Well, he's not really in it, but he's there.
Sure.
And instead of doing that story in, like, 2 movies with all of them and release... How awesome would it be if they filmed a 6-hour movie, essentially, 2 3-hour movies, broke it in half, and released them, like, a week apart.
A week, yeah, that, I mean, that'd be awesome.
I mean, ideally, you release them the same day. Just like, you see one, you see two. That's fine.
Yeah.
That'd be phenomenal.
Yeah.
That'd be, and wouldn't that be, like, the best way to go out on the Marvel Universe?
Oh, yeah.
Like, look, Hemsworth's not coming back. Robert Downey Jr.'s not coming back. Like, too much money. Like, Bale's already gone, so we're just bringing him back for this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
we had, like, to kidnap Bale's family for to get him to do this.
Here, we're doing, like, this is the blowout spectacular, and then we're starting fresh after this.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that, oh my god, it'd just be awesome, because, you know, I'm so geeky about superheroes and fantasy, and, I mean, how many times have we covered that?
Sure.
But just, and you know I'm all up Marvel's ass as well, just right up there. I'm giving Marvel a Wes enema right now. And I've
never heard of a more awful thing. You, by the way, thank you for keeping in men's butts alive. Appreciate that.
Yup. Oh my god, it'd be awesome. It'd be so awesome to see that story played out.
It would be awesome.
And, but I put in parentheses next to this, or just do Patton Oswalt's filibuster in the Parks and Rec episode. Oh, yeah. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
He throws that and he throws Star Wars and X-Men and Fantastic Four and Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and just everything else. That'd be awesome.
Okay.
But that's my number one. Avengers.
It's very, very good. And so the Avengers
in the Injustice storyline.
I like that. I like that very much. Mine goes, yours goes the biggest the big screen has to offer. I'm going on the small screen.
The smallest screen.
The smallest of the tiny little, like, Game Boy screen you can imagine. I'm mashing Tetris.
Okay.
And Dr. Mario.
That's awesome. Wow.
No, I am mashing up.
Mashed potatoes
and gravy.
Ooh.
I'm mashing up The Bachelor.
And American Gladiators?
By the way, real quick, I was just thinking about this in the bathroom. How amazing would it be in one episode to see Dr. Oz and Maury Povich just get fucking decimated by Nitro and Blaze?
You know, like, Steve, no arguments here, man.
Gotta be awesome.
It'd be awesome.
So instead, what we're going to watch, this is for the ladies, quote unquote, but actually for the guys.
That's awesome.
Because the ladies like to watch The Bachelor. Because, God knows, oh, who is he going to pick out of all these lovely ladies? And who is The Bachelor this year? Oh, is he a ranch hand? Is he
a ranch hand?
Is he a multimillionaire? Is he a drunken party boy? Who is he? Oh, no. He is from Mount Olympus. He is the god of war. He is Kratos. So all of these unsuspecting 20-something-year-old ladies pile out of a limousine, figuring out which boy toy is going to be their heart to win. And there they find a bloodlusting maniac, bald and white as the driven snow,
covered in the ashes of his dead family.
And imagine that reveal in the scene. It's like, hi, I'm Rebecca. Kratos, I'm really glad I won this date with you to, you know, get a little bit closer to you. I mean, are you from somewhere where you don't get a lot of sun? It's like, I am covered with the ashes of my wife and child.
Oh.
Oh, so, like, moisturizing, but it's slash!
Oh, God.
He just, like, picks her up and slams her into the ground, like, 9 times. You will never defile the memory of my wife and child. Holy shit!
Can you imagine the challenges? Like,
if my woman needs to be able to cook, so for your first challenge, you will catch this pig and slaughter it.
It's like, what?
Whoa, Jesus! First, you will fight through 30 hellspawn. Holy, what?
What?
It would be amazing. And the rose ceremony. Instead of giving a rose away, he clearly kills them. Clearly murders them and throws them to, like, Cerberus or something. It's like, I'm sorry, Rebecca. I enjoyed our time together, but you will suffer the wrath of Hades. And, like, picks her up, and, like, the ground opens and throws her into the river Styx.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? This man has had sex with Aphrodite.
I mean,
if he'd ever sleep with somebody, that person would die.
And you know that the gods on Olympus would be like, this is just too good. And they would come down and fuck with these girls so bad.
Oh, yeah, dude.
They would appear to them and, like, I don't know, in the form of, like, their one true love in their life. And,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then show the clip to Kratos. Oh, my God. It would be amazing.
It wouldn't be. He wouldn't hand out roses. He'd hand out coins. So he'd give the coins to the loser. This is to pay your way across the river Styx.
He just chunk them in there. He puts them on her eyes. And, yeah. Oh, my God, dude. It would be so good. And then towards the end, like, this is what you're going to have. You're going to have one girl that either is at the end and is just so horrified that she has made it to the end and is now hooked up with Kratos.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're going to have, like, after the first day, like, he's going to take a woman and throw her to Cerberus. She's going to be eaten alive. And then there's going to be one girl that's like, fuck yeah. She's like,
oh, yeah,
I am so into this. And, like, she is just balls to the wall about it and, like, pushing other girls out of the way and, like, Kratos, I will bow to you, my god of war. And, like,
and there will probably be this huge twist halfway through the season as they bring back the ghost of his dead wife to compete.
Oh! And for a first in television history, we have brought back a dead spouse of a contestant. And after, like, two more competitions, Kratos is like, you know what? I actually do prefer Jennifer to you, my dead wife. Back to the river Styx!
It's like, wow!
I did not see that Jennifer must really be cooking. Man, she's great.
She, wow!
Whoa!
Jennifer!
Wow, I think Jennifer, like, killed a Medusa in, like...
Yeah.
I think it was episode 13. She killed a Medusa.
Wow.
Yeah. So, dude.
And then, at the final episode, Kratos does not give her the coins. He's like, and I want you to be my bride. And then it turns out Jennifer is a T-1000.
No!
No!
Dude, I'm telling you, man. If you put on back-to-back Kratos the Bachelor and American Gladiators versus the People You Hate, I will never have plans for that 2-hour block of programming. I will watch it every single week without fail.
Yeah.
Without fail.
Yeah, we'd have viewing parties.
It would be amazing. Oh, my God.
Who do you think will be killed this week? Jennifer?
Just one, or?
Jennifer, Rebecca, or, I can't, what's a Greek name?
Kratos?
There you go. Right.
Or will Kratos be defeated by a woman and have to fight his way out of Hades to then come back?
Ooh.
Who
like
knows?
What if Xena competed?
Xenia?
Xena, not Xenia, yes. On a top.
Oh, I mean, I'll talk about mashup. I'm okay. All right, so to review my top five, I am going into the horror comedy genre with our friends from The Office.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, The Conjuring meets The Office. Number four, Harry Potter kicking Frodo the fuck out the way, because it's a Harry Potter Lord of the Rings mashup.
Sleeping with Sam.
And what probably should have been my real number two, American Gladiators. Killing the People You Hate. Notably, Maury Povich, Dr. Oz, and the Real Housewives of Wherever. Number two, Solid Snake, Xenomorph Hunter. And number one is Kratos the Bachelor.
Well, my number five is the Supernatural Buffy team up. Oh, man, it's going to be great. My number four is Men in John McClane. My number three is Predator versus Alien versus the T-1000. My number two is Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. And my number one is the Avengers in the Injustice Gods Among Us against Superman and his evil cadre of superheroes.
Man, there are at least 10 $1 million ideas out there. I should not take that back. Nine. Inside John McClane is... That is maybe a $100,000 idea.
There is a niche out there for
there
it,
is.
I'm sure.
There is. But guys, thank you very much for listening. We very much look forward to hearing your mashups coming at us this week. And by the way, we have copywritten everything we just said here tonight.
Oh, of course. And everything you write in, it's ours too.
Just because we're talking about completely copyrighted material, once we combine them, they are our copyright.
We want to thank Michelle for writing this in. And if you guys want any top fives that you want us to do, write us in, let us know. It may take us a few months, but goddamn, we will do it.
We will get there. So what's the best way to reach us?
Oh, you can call us at... No, it's okay. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com. Or you can leave a comment here on oneofus.net here on this page.
So, guys, thank you very much again for listening. We always appreciate it. And as always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was 5. And we're out!